podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'll start again, but there we go. Sorry about that. But welcome to the Rangers Rabble. On a night where we would love nothing more than to talk to you about how big a week this is going to be for Rangers again. But we are obviously going to have to open the show, gentlemen, and speak about the tragic news that came out of Rangers Football Club today. First of all, let me welcome everybody along, everybody in the comments. Thanks again for joining us this Tuesday evening. Scott, Brian and Gaz, I hope you're well, guys.
Yep, no bad, thanks.
No bad, mate. Yep.
So, of course, the news that came out of Rangers this morning was the sad and sudden passing of our legendary cat man, more than a cat man, as we're going to talk about, Jimmy Bell, who passed away this morning. Absolutely lost for words. First of all, it was unexpected. You know, he was with us on Sunday at Celtic Park. He would no doubt have been, as a big Rangers man as he was, he'd no doubt looking forward to this week ahead. But Jimmy Bell's been with the club in one capacity or another for more than 40 years, I believe. He's been involved, he's been with the club through 18 league titles, 28 cups in total, if we include the Challenge Cup. Three lower league titles, 2008 UEFA Cup run, the 1992-93 Champions League run. This season's run, of course, the fantastic unbeaten title last season. He's worked for 10 managers. He's seen 10 managers, permanent managers, come and go at the club. That's Souness, Smith, Advocaat, McLeish, Le Guin, back to Smith, McCoist, Warburton, Kashinia, Gerrard and Van Bronckhorst. He's been there through all that. And when you say the names out like that, that he's been there through, it just gives you an idea as to how long he's been at the club. Before he became the kit man, he was, of course, our bus driver. He worked for Parks of Hamilton. Scott, he was in with the brickwork at Ibrox, and this is going to be a huge loss to the football club.
Jimmy Bell was just like me, you, Alan, and Brian, and Gary. He was just a Rangers fan. He was just a Rangers fan through and through, who was in a position that we'd all have to have been in. I think it was a surprise this morning when I seen it. I seen somebody mention it on social media and I wasn't sure if it's true, because sometimes you think social media, sometimes you just make things up. But then I seen Rangers comment on it and I thought, fuck's sake, man, what's happened? And for guys, he never played Rangers, but he was part of Rangers, do you know that way? He was never a player, never that, but you feel devastated that he's not here because he was that much a Rangers man, but part of the foundations. But I mean, he's been there since, I mean, I'm 49 and he's been there for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. Do you know that way? And it's like, you mentioned Rangers, you mentioned Jimmy Bell, because he was always there. And I think it just shows you today what's, it shows you today, a lot of ex-players, I'm not saying every ex-player, but a lot of ex-players I've seen, I've mentioned them, they're coming ranging from back in the 90s up to the present day, how much people have mentioned this guy. So it shows you respect. Everybody took from him and the things they've learned from him. And there's not really many words you can say about Jimmy Bell apart from, like I said earlier, he was as big a Rangers fan as anybody, and he was in a position that he truly loved, and I just like to say all my thoughts and that group, his family and all his friends, and hopefully get through this, but we'll be sorely missed, and I hope the team get out on Thursday and do it for Jimmy and do it for Walter and just do it for us all, but Jimmy Bell will be cheering us on, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, and you know, I'd extend that for everybody at the Rangers Rabble, deepest condolences to everybody at the football club, including our family supporters, but to Jimmy's family as well. Our thoughts are definitely with you at this sad time. Guys, he's seen so many changes. Jimmy Bell will have seen so many changes at Rangers and at Ibrox. But he's the one consistent, and what really struck for me today was Rangers, folks, if you've not seen it, go into the YouTube channel, go into Facebook and Twitter. Rangers have released a video and dedicated to Jimmy. And some of the clips in that showed Giovanni Van Bronckhorst returning to Ibrox. And I thought about Giovanni's position at that time. So here is a man that is, okay, spent a lot of time in the UK, but he's coming into a job in a foreign country, to a club that he left more than 20 years ago. Guys, but that sort of embrace you had with Jimmy Bell, that was something familiar for him. Mm. You know, how much a big role did Jimmy Bell play at Rangers in welcoming people back to the club and to the club? You know, he wasn't just the man that stuck the numbers on the back of the shirts, was he?
No, he was just Jimmy Bell. He was like we've said, he was part of the brickwork at Ibrox, and the video you see how happy Gio even looks to see him again, and in the video as well, like the first person Gerard sees in the changing room is Jimmy Bell. He's there, and all the messages for players, Defoe's one really stuck out today. He's going to be a massive. He's the constant at the club, and I think he's probably irreplaceable in that dressing room. There's not many players in that you could say are irreplaceable, but if for a kit man, he's just... I'm gutted.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned some of the tributes. The Jermaine Defoe one stuck out for me as well, because it was another example, Brian, I felt, of Jimmy's role at the club. You know, he kept people down to earth. He reminded people, like Jermaine Defoe said, he reminded me, I hadn't won anything at Rangers yet. If I wanted to be a Rangers man, I had to win something. That's invaluable. That's you can't, money can't buy that, can it?
No. I must admit, I did have a chuckle when I read that message, because Jermaine was coming into Rangers thinking he was Billy Big Chip, scored all the goals down south, and then Jimmy Bell just whacked him straight down to earth and says, no, you've not done that near, mate. You've not scored as goals as Manny McCoist. So, you know, you've still got a job to do here. You haven't won anything here. So, but I mean, as you say, Alan, in the introduction there, I mean, he's came through since the early 80s of when we were really, really bad. Jock Wallace, John Gregg, you know, way before the Souness. And, you know, the changes he's seen at Rangers must be just astronomical, from really bad to good to bad and then back to good. It's just been a roller coaster of a time that he's been there, you know. But, yeah, I mean, he was one that all the players have said exactly the same sort of comments. You know, he was the man that drummed it in everybody. Second best is not good enough here. You've got to win. And, you know, just some of the stories are brilliant. If there was one book I'd like to have read, if he ever did one, it would have been Jerry Bell's.
Just like to see, Alan, I heard something today, I think it was actually David Eckert was saying it, Josh Windass asked him for a pair of gloves, and he told Josh Windass, you don't get any gloves, because Brian Loudrup will wear gloves, so you're not wearing them. Do you know what I mean? It's just things like that, and Jimmy Bell was just Rangers man through and through. I agree with Brian, if he had a book, everybody would buy it, because it'd probably be a good laugh, but it'd be some acknowledging the amount of players that guy's met through his career. But even Scott Arfield said he was Rangers through and through. Steven Gerrard said when he was here, Jimmy was the boss, I wasn't the boss. Everybody respected him, and that's amazing for somebody. He's got a title, kit man. But is he the kit man? I think Jimmy was Mr. Rangers, wasn't he? Him and Walter together. The two of them ran the place when they were there.
Yeah, and you know, that was something I was going to bring up. This is somewhere we've been already this season. Guys, it's... funnily enough, I was on that night as well. On the show that night, the news broke that Walter passed away. That was a Tuesday as well. We came on and done the pod. People have been saying in the comments there, Ibrox is going to be very emotional on Thursday night. It's probably quite similar to how it was the Aberdeen game after Walter Smith passed away. As if we didn't need anything else on top of Thursday night, this is going to make it a really emotional occasion now.
Yeah. I was thinking about it today, and I'm like, we'll obviously do something, there'll be like a minute silence or something, but then I was sitting there, I was like, would a minute applause be better for Jimmy Bell rather than a minute silence for the time he put in? Or do we do both? Do we do one in, like, maybe the minute that for every year he was at the club, we do it on that minute and then do the silence at the start? I couldn't quite make my mind up. But yeah, I was there at the Aberdeen game after Walter as well, and it's difficult. You know, like, Walter was probably the first one from when I started watching Rangers that's went. I know, like Sandy Jardine, that's went since then, but as when I was growing up, Walter was the first one, and then now there's Jimmy. it feels as though the old guard are starting to go, and I don't know how. I'm just gutted. Like I say, I'm gutted.
Yeah, I think that's a fair feeling, and it's certainly reflected in the comments, guys. It's, I think we're not alone, but we never are, because that's why we're a family. That's why we're the Rangers family. And I know that might sound strange to outsiders looking in, but you know, there's this football club, it grips people, and it's more than a football club. It's absolutely shooky. I was the same as a couple of you guys have mentioned. I didn't know if it was true or not. I heard the rumor at my work, and I thought, here we go again. Because was there not a rumor last year, Brian? Something similar. I thought these horrible people are at this again. We heard that a couple of weeks ago with Gorham as well. Thankfully, that wasn't true at the time. But unfortunately, it is true. And I'm lost for words. And in many respects, I'm lost for words, Brian. Maybe you can help me out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, he's been a pretty much, I would say, a vast majority of the Rangers base, fan base, he's been the only kit man they've ever known. They've never known anybody else. He's been the only man that's ever sort of put the shirts on the pegs, drove the bus, you name it. You know, he's, you know, done all that for all the youngsters and all the first team. And, you know, he's been the constant in all the Rangers fans' eyes. He's been such a steady rock. He's never, you know, never upset anybody. You know, he goes about his business quietly. He obviously, from what I've seen on Facebook and Twitter as well, he's obviously done a few favours for people and never asked for anything back. You know, he doesn't do anything for anything else other than that he wants to do it. He's just genuinely one of these guys that he just loves to help folk, and you know, he was doing a job that everybody would kill to do, you know. I mean, some of the, as you say, some of the tributes are coming in from all the ex-players, and even, you know, out with the sort of Rangers family is amazing as well. And I think that shows you the feeling that everybody's got, you know. I mean, he's just a lot of people are saying he's Mr. Rangers.
Yeah. Nicola Stubborn making the comment, best way to honour the most famous cat man in football. And that was another thought I'd had. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what we're calling him, our legendary cat man, Kerr. I couldn't name any other cat man in world football.
No, you look at other clubs, you don't really know who, apart from maybe the manager and assistant manager, you don't really know anybody else at other teams, do you know that way? But Jimmy Bell was known by everybody, I mean, because he was Jimmy Bell, and he was always there, and he was always involved. And there's no many things you can say about Jimmy Bell, because everything you'll say is true. And I know you mentioned Jermaine Defoe's comment, but I think it was so good that Jimmy Bell said, "Tell me, man, go out of the pouch and bring that out to me." And it was a bottle of whiskey, and he says, "You're having a shot of that." And he's like, "I don't drink, I'm teetotal." He said, "We've just won 55, you're having a shot," so he drunk it for him. And it's just things like that. I mean, like Brian said, he was a Rangers diehard like us, and he's in a position where we all want to be, but he made it his own, didn't he? The fans knew him, and he was respected by fans, players, and everybody. Even when Rangers players were interviewed, he would interview Jimmy Bell, some people, because he was Jimmy Bell. And do you know what I mean? Interviews, you see him interviewed in a, and he was, I think everybody's probably met in his life, probably liked him, no matter who it is, because I think he just comes across as a genuine guy. If they didn't like you, would probably tell you that as well. But Amoroso, and somebody mentioned Amoroso saying, "I'm not green in this dressing room." It's just class, Jimmy Bell. He's just, and somebody also said, old school Ranger, and he was a Rangers fan, and that Rangers were his life. To be honest with you, I know his family and that were there, but Rangers were his life. It's like us. He was in part of the Rangers family in a very big way.
I mean, one thing I picked up on the day that I probably didn't realise or overlooked was he was the man that introduced the Queen picture being above the captain. I either forgot about that or just found out about that today. So that was a wee bit of...
Who was the kit man before him? Was it wee Doddy?
Doddy, yeah.
Which was another thing I thought, how many clubs in world football can say they've got two legendary kit men?
It's not meant to retire this season, but
there was rumours that he was going to retire. I don't know if they were true or not, but there were certainly rumours. And I've read it today as well that he was considering it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. you know, it's just, as I say, it's going to be a massive, massive loss to the football club. I don't know. We still don't know what the club are going to do to honour Walter. I would assume we're going to hear something at the end of the season. But guys, the club are going to have to do something to honour Jimmy as well, because he meant so much to the club and he meant so much to so many people, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't have a clue, but they'll 100% need to do something. I've seen some people suggesting that there's a few ex-players anyway, that have their ashes buried in certain corners of the ground. Is that correct?
Yep. I know Sandy Jardine certainly has.
I'd imagine Jimmy would have probably wanted something like that, but then again, it's going to be up to his family. They're going to need to do something. It was funny. I was on a tour. I took the wee man for a tour last summer at Ibrox, and we were in the changing room. And when Gerard came in, the tour guide was saying he wanted to completely rip it up and start again. And Jimmy Bell was meant to be like, you can change the floor and you can put your fancy tellies in, but you're no ripping out any of that wood. That wood's been here longer than any of us, and it will be here longer than any of us. Yeah. So it's those sort of things I like.
He got it. He understood the tradition of the club. I don't know. I don't know what the club are going to do, Brian. I know that the Hall of Fame is reserved for those who played for the jersey. It shows when people like Mr. Smith aren't in the Hall of Fame either. But I wonder if it's time the club did open up the Hall of Fame to honour people like Walter and Jimmy. Any thoughts?
I mean, I've always thought the idea of a Hall of Fame should be, it shouldn't matter who it is. If they're associated with Rangers and they've made an extraordinary contribution to the club, they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, that could be somebody that's worked on the front desk. You know, can't remember the guy's name. He worked on the front desk for years. The tea ladies that you always hear about, you know, whoever it is, if they've made an extraordinary contribution and long service to the club, they should be able to be going to the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. They've given an extraordinary amount of time to the, and their lives to, you know, working for Rangers. It's the very least they can do. I mean, I have seen one or two suggest that maybe the changing room or something be named after him. I don't know. I mean, that's the sort of ilk and the sort of thought that everybody's thinking about it. And, you know, he's just, that was his office at the end of the day, you know, his room and the changing room. So sounds a nice enough idea, but I mean, they might have other plans. I don't know, but they need to do something, because to think that Sir Walter and him could not be in the Hall of Fame is pretty tragic.
Yeah. I know it's early days. The news only broke this morning, so we'll leave that in the trusted hands of the club, I hope, and hopefully we'll hear more of that. As I say, we know that the museum's been built as well, so they might tie something in there with Jimmy. I'm going to leave that there just now for Jimmy. We're going to mention him through the show tonight, but I want to go on and talk about some of the other points. But yeah, keep your comments coming in, folks. Keep your questions coming in for the guys. If you've got any stories of Jimmy, please feel free to share them. If they're clean, we'll get them up and have a laugh. But the sad news coming out of Rangers today, just to confirm, the sad news coming out of Rangers today, that Jimmy Bell has sadly, suddenly and tragically passed away. And our thoughts with his family this time. So, Jimmy's last game, Jimmy's last goal, quite fittingly, Gaz, against Celtic. 1-1 draw. How did you feel after the 1-1 draw on Sunday?
I wasn't angry, but I wasn't like too upset. I was happy that we managed to stop their party. I personally thought the league was over anyway. Even if we had won it, I couldn't see them dropping another 4 points. So. But I wasn't too downbeat. I thought we deserved to win overall, especially the second half. But I wasn't too downbeat about it.
Yeah, Brian, I tend to agree with that. I mean, personally, I thought it was going to be quite far fetched to win the league. I know we've done it before. We've turned around in short time frames, margins like this. But you know, the league was pretty much gone. We postponed their party. They never got to have it against us, which is what they wanted more than anything else. But I was quite happy with getting a point. I was quite happy with the performance, more so. But probably quite importantly, we got through it without any injury issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was everybody's anxiety going into the game, was the sheer lack of numbers and the attacking options was limited. So it was, you know, we didn't really have much, you know, other options to go with. And then, of course, you were just wanting to get through the game with no injuries, which happened as well. So that was good. I mean, I just keep thinking, there's us went there with virtually not with no striker, or not a recognised one anyway. And we've absolutely, well, I wouldn't say we schooled them, but, you know, we've came away there with our heads held high, played really well. And to me, this sort of statements that we're miles behind them and they're so much better than us is ridiculous. You know, I just don't buy into that at all. I just don't feel they're that much better than us. You know, that's just my honest opinion. I just thought we were just slightly unlucky at the end there with Sakala going through, hit the post, you know, just a couple of chances last 10 minutes. But as you say, we got a draw, no injuries on a Thursday.
Yeah, Kerr, that was, for me, I don't think they're ever a better team than us. But, you know, it can be argued that the best team in the country wins the league every year. I think it's really fine margins between us and them this season. I know we'll talk about draws at home to Motherwell and Hearts and away to Ross County. They've cost us dearly, and they have cost us dearly. There's no getting away from that. But that's the last two Old Firm games in the league where we've been all over them, and particularly in the second half, and not been able to put them away. You know, if we had won both of those games as we should have done, we're sitting here having a different conversation.
Well, I think it's just consistency. I think they've been more consistent since Christmas than we have. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the issue. They've not dropped as many points as we have. And that's obviously made the swing way the way it went. But there's not a lot between the teams. I wouldn't say they're better than us. I think on a day we are slightly better than them, but I don't think there's a lot between the teams. I was actually quite happy performance on Sunday. I thought 15, 20 minutes in the first half. They scored, and then after 15 minutes after that, a few chances. I mean, at the game, I didn't look like they were offside, but when I watched it on TV, my header was well offside. I mean, a couple of things, even Jota's header, I mean, Kyogo's in an offside position, I know you can say that, but I think they got a lot of help for the officials again, which they say they never do. But I thought we dug deep again, 1-0 down, we came out in the second half. I'm not saying we bossed it, but we had it in control. Lundstrom was superb. Jack got into the game. I thought Sakala actually made Vickers and Starfield look quite average in the second half. And that must have been Sakala's biggest fan this season, because I think he's a hit and miss at times. He can score a worldie and he can miss the easy chances in a row. But I thought he pressed him. You've seen it, Vickers slipping. He pressed Joe Hart when he slipped. We've just not took our chances in a lot of games this season. I think that's been the issue. I think it's been because we've not had a lot of help up front. Maybe people injured or people suspended, and like I say, Sakala's a hit and a miss. But I was happy with performance on Sunday. I mean, I thought the league was over anyway, just because the games left and the point difference. But I think Celtic thought they were going to come out on Sunday and do what they did last time, you know, and win the league and have a party, which never happened. Because I think you've seen it; they never attacked us as much as they did the last time. They start off as a lot because we had probably more possession. I don't know the stats, but I think we had probably more possession. And only really Jota looked a threat to us. I mean, McGregor, I don't think had a save to make. I'm not looking at the stats, but I don't think McGregor had a save, even though he let one in. So I thought we played really well, and I was actually quite happy with the performance. And I thought some of the players get a wee bit of criticism, but apart from the goal we conceded, where the boy Greg Taylor get 4 or 5 seconds to pass the ball to Maeda, players were out of position, and Bonner's left at the back post, wondering, will I go for it? Well, I know, and Jota. Yeah. Time he's in. I thought apart from that moment we were okay. I thought we played really well, and I was quite happy with performance myself. So I'm looking forward to Thursday night on the back of this, because I think the team have got a bit about them now.
Yeah.
I think Gio knows his players, what they can do and what they can't do, and I think they're digging deep for them, for each other and for their manager, which I'm pleased to see.
Yeah, and it sort of brings me nicely into my next point. Thanks very much. Guys, no losing that game and having the fight and the dig that we did to get back into it and really, you know, be the better team in the second half, it means we've no lost that momentum going into Thursday night. We've not had the stuffing left.
Yeah, you know, I don't watch German football, so I don't know what that result they had last night does for them or... I know. I think it keeps them quite close to their.
They've dropped out. The Champions League places are sitting fifth in the league just now.
But if we'd came out of Sunday maybe getting beat 2-0 or something, you don't know what that does to the confidence. I thought we played relatively well, apart from maybe the 10-15 minutes after the goal, and like you said earlier, getting out without any injuries. And hopefully having Roof back as well will help.
Yeah, I was a bit worried, Brian, after the goal. I thought Barisic's confidence was away again. I'm not going to lie. At one point, I said, get him off, and that was before half-time. Because I thought his confidence was away. I should be ashamed to admit, but I'm not ashamed to admit I was screaming for Sakala to come off at half-time as well. But thankfully, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is a manager and it's no me. these things work out in the end. And I suppose, we're talking about Van Bronckhorst having a bit of resolve and he's getting something out of the team now after a rocky start. And that just goes to show that was two players who didn't perform particularly well in the first half, but were quite key in our performance in the second half.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that it's happened a couple of times this season where a certain player hasn't performed very well in the first half and then the second half they've came out and performed much better. So, as you say, it's just as well that we're not the manager and he is. But I just think in the last few games, we've shown a bit more streetwiseness to us. Dalio taking the boy down, 25 yards outside, took a booking. I don't think necessarily that would have happened in the past because we would have been too nice and, didn't want to create a foul. So there's just been a few times, in the cup semi especially, there was a few times we took a booking for the team, Mm-hmm. So it's just starting to creep into the team now that we're getting a bit more streetwise. And that's, I think, what we've been missing a lot, very badly in probably even Gerrard's time. I don't think we were streetwise enough.
I think that's coming for Big Bad John.
Sorry.
I think that's coming for Big Bad John. I think he's making the team poor. I think Lundstrom's vital to us next season. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying it a while back. We need to build the team around John. I mean, he's put up on everything we do. And you can see where he swaggers. He might be a wee bit arrogant, but he's proved a point to everybody, especially to a lot of supporters, because every one of us on here, if he'd have left in January, nobody would have said anything. We wouldn't have blinked. But he's now here and he's probably the most vital player we've got at the moment.
Yeah, I think if he went out the door at the same time as Bakuna, nobody would have batted an eyelid there. I've just said Bakuna and you've all went, huh? I think we'd have probably been in the same position with Lundstrom. I don't think any of us would have, because it was a bad start for him. And, Gerrard seemed to lose trust in him pretty quickly. But credit to him, he's turned it around. He admitted as well that he didn't realise the size of the club when he came in. Maybe that had an impact on his performances. Maybe he underestimated. Do you think that might be the case, guys? Do you think he maybe underestimated what Rangers expected of him? Or what he expected of Rangers, even?
I think, if anything, he's underestimated Rangers, which was obviously a bad move on his part. He would have known it after the criticism he took after the Malmo incident. I'm not. His form came in just as Jack was coming. See, when they two started playing together, they helped each other. I think Ryan Jack's got a big part to play in Kirsten and John Lundstrom's like the first name in the team sheet at the moment. He's absolutely everywhere on that football pitch.
I totally agree with that. I think he is the first name on the team sheet. But another player I wanted to speak about, who's maybe the second name on the team sheet just now, I have been so impressed with Calvin Bassey in the last few weeks, Brian. Would it be unfair in Calvin if, let's say, Goldson signed a contract and John Souter came in, Would it be really unfair in Calvin Bassey if he lost his place in the team today too, or even if Hellander came back?
I think it would be. And, you know, I've certainly not been Mr. Calvin's biggest supporter lately. I still feel sometimes that he gives us a wee bit of a heart attack sometimes when he's in ball possession. But as far as tackling and pace, he's got that in abundance and he's got a big heart, you know. I think that would be, it would be kind of harsh. I really do. Because he came in primarily as a left back, but then he was shunted into the centre half because of injury, and he wasn't great the first few games. And if you're not used to a certain position and you're suddenly put into it, it's difficult to adapt, you know, because we don't see the training and what happens. But I think it would be unfair. It would be a very, very brave man to take Bassey out and put Suter in, for example. But Gio's the manager, thankfully, not us.
Yeah, as we've said, Kerr, I've been really impressed with him lately. As Brian says, he sometimes does give you that sort of scary moment where he's got the ball at his feet, but he's learning. Yeah. He's young and he's learning. Amateur, as you know, as you guys know through our group chat, see, when it comes to football, I'm a traditionalist, right? I like things a certain way. See, for me, you need two types of centre back. You need a centre back that's clever with the ball at his feet, and you need a big
bruiser.
Yeah, for me, Calvin Bassey fits that role, and that's what I like about him. If he can learn to play with the ball at his feet as well, then, you know, good luck to him. But he fits that bill, doesn't he, Kerr? He's the bruiser.
Yeah, I mean, I've said all along, I think his best position is centre back. A left back, he does okay because he's got injured, he got him down the park, but his distribution lets him down at times. So I think centre back's better for him because he just defends, he clears. When he does maybe try and play a ball, he does get himself into trouble, but at centre back, he just defends and he's getting better at it. You've seen it in the games against Celtic, he's getting better. And a couple of times on Sunday, he was out of position and you thought, but he's got the pace to recover. You just don't want him to recover all the time because that means he's constantly making mistakes. But he's working on his game and he's going to get better. I mean, he's only still 22 and, I mean, he's built outside the house, so he's going to be very difficult to knock off the ball. And I think you've seen it in the semi-final of the Cup when Gio used him, as in every time Rogic get a ball, he went out of the back and went on to Rogic. And he was out. He actually didn't last long, Rogic, because he couldn't get by Bassey. And I think Bassey can do man-to-man marking very easily because he's solid, he's got the pace and he's got a physicality. So I think jobs like that he can do no problem. So I hope if Connor does stay, which I still hope he does, because I think we should throw the kitchen sink at him, because I think he's a best defender, Connor Goldson. But if he does stay, in Bassey has to be centre-back. John Suter, to me, he's got a lot to prove still. We all know he's a decent player, but he's got a lot to prove. I don't know if he can play two games a week still. Hellander, you don't know if he can do that either, and Balligan's probably away, so I think we still need one more. But if Connor's there and Bassey's there, then they two, for me, are starting next season.
Yeah, I would agree with the Suter comment. I think Suter may be similar to Ryan Jack in the fact that when he plays, he'll be good, but I don't think we'll get five or six games in a row out of him, which is unfortunate because he's a decent player. But, you know, we might just need to go with what we've got there, and I'd be more than happy to see Bassey. And, you know, people are saying in the comments, guys, that he's learning all the time, he's growing all the time. You know, if he keeps in this current trajectory, he could possibly go for big money in the future as well. So it's probably within Rangers' best interest to get him tied down to a longer-term contract.
Definitely. 100%. I'd get him, and with care, I'd be flinging the kitchen sink at Goldson as well. And the two could strike up an even better partnership next year. I think what's also helping Bassey out in the centre position is the fact that Borna's came back to a bit of form, so we're not worrying too much about having to play him out there, and are we going to put Balligan back in? So, Bassey, get him doing on a contract, because he's, 22? And he's only, and the mistakes he was making earlier in the year at centre back was as though he was still trying to defend as a fullback, like the way he would try and kick the ball or something, like the Leon own goal. That was very much him thinking he's still out left back.
Yeah.
When he's thinking the goal's maybe a wee bit further away than where he normally is. And then, because if 9 times out of 10, that's going out of play. If he's in left back, at centre back, that's going in the back of the net. So he's like, right, I need to think of my positional awareness a lot more. So he's only going to improve.
Yeah, and he will improve as he gets older. And you know, the experience the other guys round about him. William, big thank you to William Campbell becoming a YouTube member. Lead the way, William, if anybody wants to become a YouTube member, please do so. If not, you know, still hit the subscribe button and follow us on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. A massive, massive thank you to William Campbell. And a massive thank you to everybody that's joining us. Again, in the comments, your support, as I say, anytime I'm on hosting, we wouldn't be here talking about Rangers if it wasn't for you. And we all love talking about Rangers, so we love coming on here and doing this. But big thank you to everybody supporting us. Now, let's talk about what we all want to talk about. In fact, we'll come to that in a minute. I'll come to that. Kerr, Kerr, you mentioned a bit of good news for the women's team, or good news on the horizon for the women's team.
Yeah, I've got one more point to win the league. So there are two games left. So I think a draw against Glasgow City, they win the league. And the last game against Celtic, but I think they're about 27 points ahead of Celtic, which is always good for any Rangers team. So I think they've won the league very easily this season, Brian. I know you've seen a few of them, and they look really good. And I remember watching it at the start, and you think they're decent, but I think the last 6 to 12 months they've improved a lot. They've got a lot of good players, and I've only basically started watching them recently, but I've watched things back on YouTube and stuff just to see what they were like. And I'm quite disappointed only one player in the awards and never even get selected, because going by the men's thing, if you're winning the league, then you should have a lot of your players up for the awards. But for Rangers, for some reason, don't have many players up for the awards, and there's a lot of good players in that Rangers team.
Yep. I mean, I think the big signing for them was Jane Ross from Man United. I think she's lifted them to a new level. She scores goals for fun. I mean, she's some of the goals she scored this season has just been unbelievable. Headers, yeah. You know, chips. You know, she's chipped goalies a few times. And I think they signed the Dutch centre, the centre midfielder, is it Tessa Middak as well?
Yeah.
I think she's been a really good signing as well. And I think to think that they only had one player out of eight in the Player of the Year awards, and they're, you know, so far ahead in the league. And I just find that totally baffling. I think that's totally disrespectful to the Rangers players that have played all this time, that, you know, putting all that work and not getting recognised for it. But in saying that, they've strolled the league, and they put a lot of money in last year, and I think it's starting to pay dividends now.
They've got Champions League football next year, so yeah. We'll see how they go with that. But that's good for them to get that, because it also gives the Rangers brand out there, but in the women's game, so it's good, because women's football is getting bigger. I know a lot of people don't watch it, but watching the English teams, watching the European teams, it's getting bigger all the time. A lot of people might not fancy it, but some of it is quite decent, to be fair. I watch a bit of it, and some of it is quite decent.
I think the last few weeks, they've certainly had a couple of tight games, like Motherwell at the weekend, they won 2-1. I think Hibs, you know, I think the Hibs game, I think they just won, was it 1-0 or 2-1 as well, so There's been heavy wins for them, but in the last few weeks they've certainly been able to dig out the, you know, the tough tight games where that shows that if you draw that game, that could, you know, hamper your league title ambitions. But they've 24 wins out of 25, one draw,
undefeated, and not up for any awards. Shocking.
Guys, I don't know about you. I don't know a great deal about the women's team. I've been trying to pay a bit more attention, but for what we do know, this. Once this title's secured, it'll be Rangers women's first top flight title, and they made their debut at Ibrox a couple of weeks ago. Massive achievements for women's football in Scotland, but of course Rangers women's football team. It's exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know very little about the women's. I knew they were walking away with it this year. Did they need to play qualifiers for the Women's Champions League, or did they just go?
I don't know the format.
I know Glasgow City have been in it a few times and they've done relatively okay, but I know like the Europe Barcelona, and they've got the English club like Chelsea and Man City and stuff, they'll pay quite a lot of money for their players. So women's football is getting bigger and their wages are getting bigger as well. So I think it's growing. It just shows you Sky are paying women's football more money and they pay the SPL. So it just shows you the difference. But I suppose that's Sky for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the other thing as well is the ladies have got a chance to win the league on Sunday.
Yeah.
Their game kicks off at the same time our second half kicks off. I mean, don't know who's in charge of scheduling, but that's not a very good idea.
No, from a Rangers perspective, it's not. It probably suits the two leagues, but from a Rangers perspective, it's not. But as I say, it's massive for the women's game. It's massive for Rangers, and they are part of the club. It's not like they're a separate football club with the same name.
No.
They are not a separate entity in any way. We're all part of one big club.
Good thing is, Aaron, a lot of women's players in the team followed Rangers for when they were young. Yeah. So that's good, and it's good to when they come out and see that they've shown the pictures when they're younger watching games at Ibrox. So it's good to see that as well, because there's a lot of Rangers fans in that team.
Yeah, so good luck to them on Sunday. We'll hopefully catch a bit of the game after the first team game. I forgot who we're playing on Sunday. Dundee United on Sunday. There you go. apparently. Okay, so let's come to Thursday night. Thursday night, when you actually stop and think about it, Europa League semi-final, second leg, we're 1-0 down.
Yeah.
But we should rightly have every confidence of going into this game and getting a result.
I've said it since last week, Alan, I'm confident we're going through. I've not got any nerves at all, I'm confident we're going through. I've said it the other night, I said it last week, I'm just, for some reason, it's in my mind already in the final, so I'm not going to change my mind. I could be wrong. Come Thursday night at 10 o'clock, but I think we're through. I think we're going to get. I think we're going to get a final. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I think we'll get to a final.
Brian, are you confident we're going to get through?
Just on a side note, Bournemouth just scored. So, I'm confident. Yeah, I mean, the last time I experienced a semi-final, I was down in Blackpool watching the semi-final on the big screen. The penalty shootout. Interrupted a bingo to tell them all we'd got through to the final of the UEFA Cup. It wasn't very popular for a few seconds, but I must admit, after Sunday's result, we've got a bit more, I think as Kerr says, we've got a bit more about us now. We've got a bit more steel, a bit more, well, certainly a lot more confidence. And I don't think the Leipzig, well, from what we were listening to last night in the chat, I don't think Leipzig's defence was up to much. I do think if we score first early doors, it could be a long, long night for their defence.
Yeah. Guys, I'll ask you the same question. Are you confident?
No, he's back now.
You froze out there for a second.
Did I go over there? My apologies, that's my dodgy internet. Guys, sorry, I was just asking you the same question. Are you confident for Thursday night?
I'm confident, but at the same time, I'm bricking it. I'll probably watch most of it like this through my eyes, through my fingers, sorry. My only concern is that we need to stay defensively switched on, because they look like they could pick us on a right good counter-attack. That's my only concern.
Yeah.
We'll go five at the back. Lundstrom
dropping
it. I would think so. So, my concern is, my issue they got is I'm quite confident as well. So, the four of us are all quite confident, so that pretty much guarantees we're going to get put out. So, sorry, I've just seen Villarreal are beating Liverpool too.
I know, can you not see the smile on my face there?
Jeez, oh. I did wonder why I was smiling. But oft, what a turnaround that is. Anyway, we're not going to talk about Liverpool or Villarreal or Bournemouth.
Let the Russians back in.
What decent Candy said Villarreal is in the space.
Yeah.
Do you think Candy's a knob? Sorry for anyway, let's
get back to Rangers. Kurt, I don't expect any massive changes on Thursday night, any surprises. Is it important that Roof's fit?
I think if he's anywhere near it, he plays. I think he'll start. But I think he'll go with quite a confident lineup attacking wise, but I think he will go with three at the back, with Lundstrom just sitting between the two centre backs, and the two full backs will push high. That's how Bonner will play. We know Bonner's got his critics, but some of his deliveries in the last few games have been really good. We know defensively he can let us down, but we're having to get balls into the box, and their defence don't look great at dealing with balls like that for Bonner or Tav. So I think the full backs will be further up the park. Roof sitting with Jack. I don't know who will play next to Jack. It could be Aribo, it could be Arfield, it could be Kamara, it could be Davis, but I think he will go with the three, Golson, Barisay, and Lundstrom just sitting between them, because I think Emil Lundstrom's, yeah, gives them more protection, they feel more comfortable, and Bassi can make runs for the back goals and can still pound the long balls, which I thought Leipzig were kind of susceptible to last week. I thought a couple of long balls for Connor and it opened him up a bit, and I think Ryan Kent's going to be crucial on Thursday. I know he's getting critics as well, but Ryan Kent would all be the first name in my team sheet. I'm sorry if that upsets anybody, but I just think he's a phenomenal player. And his goal scoring is no great. I know GD has got a thing about him, but just a wee pass on Sunday to Sakala to set up that goal, it was just a perfect pass for him. It was just, he hit it that well. Sakala just had to hit it in his stride, that's how it went in. Because usually Sakala takes a touch because he's not that confident, but he didn't, because the pass was so good. So Kent will be there. And so I think Sakala will play even if Rusford, I think he'll go with the three.
Possibly. I don't know if he'll... I really don't know, because I don't know where Aribo would then fit in there. But guys, just on the Ryan Kent thing, Ryan Kent looked really up for it on Sunday. We need that Kent to turn up, don't we? We need the Ryan Kent that's up for it, that's willing to take players on and beat them. We don't need the Ryan Kent who, let's face it, can hide from time to time. Is Ryan Kent, I keep calling him Ryan Kent as if people don't know who Kent is when I say Kent. Kent, if...
Is
Ryan Kent the key to our success on Thursday night?
He's a massive part of it. Absolutely massive part. And these aren't, when you're talking about Kent hiding, these aren't usually the games that he goes hiding in. These are the ones you usually see him, you know. So he's massive, massive to us tomorrow night. And as you're saying about Sunday, he just hates them anyway, so.
Yeah, you know, it's Jimmy Bell must have rubbed off on him somewhere. it's just, folks, I'm going to ask you all, so I might as well ask you all now, whilst we've got some time left, let's give me your score predictions, and let's tell me who your goal scorers are going to be as well, because I might fancy a wee bet.
Even if you don't think we're going to go through, tell us the truth. I mean, don't all be as confident as us four.
Yeah, aye. Listen, Kerr's absolutely right. If you think your heads are in the clouds, tell us. I mean, we'll ignore you, but you can tell us anyway. Brian, is it looking too far ahead of ourselves to start really, really dreaming? Not just about going to Seville. Because we make this big thing, don't we, about, oh, we're going to Seville or we went to Manchester. And these are phenomenal achievements. The big achievement's going to be winning the trophy, though, isn't it? Is it too early to start dreaming about that, or are we getting too ahead of ourselves to start picturing James Tavernier lifting the Europa League trophy?
I've just put
the image in your head, haven't I?
I know. let's deal with Thursday, right? We all got carried away in 2008 when we went to Manchester. We all thought we were going to win the trophy. And we probably underestimated Dynamo Kiev a little bit. And
underestimated Dynamo Kiev in 2008. Mainly because we're only playing Dynamo Kiev.
Zenit. But I mean,
professional as ever.
And then their best player went to Arsenal.
But I mean, at the end of the day, let's just get through Thursday and then we can start enjoying the prospect of the final. I mean, I've always said in sport, there's nothing worse being a semi-finalist because you're so close to the final. There's nothing worse losing a semi-final. And I just hope the players go out there and think, right, we can go this one more hurdle and get to the final. There's one more hurdle to go to get to the final. And then you can enjoy the build-up to the final. But just win the semi. That's all I ask.
Yeah, Kerr, it's a good point, isn't it? There's nothing. Losing in a semi-final in the Europa League, in any competition, but especially a European competition, it's a wee bit like your cooking getting let down by one goal, isn't it? You'd rather three or four let you down as one.
I'm just confident, but I think it will go through. I think we'll go through an extra time. That's how confident I am.
Yeah, you're starting to backtrack a wee bit.
No, I still think, I've said the extra time a cut, I think, I just think that's the way we play. I think the longer the game goes on, we seem to find energy for somewhere. And it's not too thing to think about Tav lifting that trophy, because they're in the semi-final. It's only two games away, do you know that way? So, but I do think if for some reason we do win it, which we've got a very good chance, I think this would be the biggest and most successful achievement any Scottish football club in Britain, any Scottish football club, sorry, in this country, it's done in the last, don't know, 50, 60, 100 years. Because winning a European trophy these days with the financial money involved in football, where the teams like Man City, Liverpool has got to play with even the German teams and teams from other countries compared to us, winning it would be phenomenal. And they'll even easily beat winning anything for back for the 60s and 70s because football's changed so much. So us doing that, so getting to the semi-final is an achievement in itself, but getting to a final and winning it, would be, I would outlive that. And these players would be heroes for the rest of their life, and this would be the biggest sporting achievement in Scotland seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Guys, I was going to ask that question anyway. You know, where would it rank amongst Scotland's greatest footballing achievements? But Kerr's story stole my thunder a wee bit, so I'll reword the question. it's European football has been reshaped, changed, redesigned. Let's face it, it's to keep clubs like Scottish clubs away from finals, because we don't attract, do we? We don't attract compared to the English teams and the German teams and the French teams. So, you know, just we never know when this could happen again for that very reason.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily to keep Scottish teams and or smaller. I think it's to keep a certain 10, 15 clubs always competing round about there.
Yeah.
But it'll be
almost like some, I don't know what you would call it, maybe a super league of some sort, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's in to deal with English clubs annoyed that the UEFA try to bring in a spot for the Champions League next season, like, I don't know. That
historical performances.
Some of the Premiership clubs and the Italian clubs aren't happy with that because there might be more games to play. And that's just a thing you're talking about because they just want to play amongst themselves. They don't want us involved.
Yeah.
And it is like a Super League, but it's a different way of going about it. And it's just all about money for these clubs, nothing else.
Well, Villarreal's not meant to get the Champions League semi, are they?
No.
Hopefully they get to the final.
Hopefully they do.
Mm-hmm. So have, but Mike, hopefully Mike John's not too upset.
Guys, you know, I suppose there's a couple of big questions in everybody's lips ahead of Thursday night as far as team selection is concerned. We've spoke about Roof Ramsey. If Ramsey's fit, does he start?
I don't know. To be honest, I haven't even thought about Ramsey. I don't think he would start him if he was fit.
I'll maybe bring him on for the last 20, 25, you know, if we need him. But I think the players that have contributed the last few games deserve a shot at this. I really do. You know, the Cup semi, they were 1-0 down, dug themselves out. You know, Europe, I mean, okay, it was a tough game away to Leipzig, but they've gave us a chance. And, you know, a good performance away to Celtic at the weekend. I just think they deserve it. I mean, how long would Ramsey last again? It's just he lasted, what was it, 15, 20 minutes against Celtic and he was subbed off. So we don't need that again. I just think the other players deserve a shot. I really do. And it's a shame to see it because Ramsey is a brilliant, brilliant player. But I've half got my mind thinking, well, if we get the final, then Ramsey will be fully fit for that. So
I'll ask you that, Alan, because you've probably seen him. Sorry, Brian, you've probably seen him more than any's. Ramsey, would you take a gamble?
I honestly don't know, if I'm being perfectly honest. I agree that, you know, the players that dug us out against Celtic in the semi-final, you know, the last two performances as well, that they deserve to be in the team. But that being said, we all know, and I know especially, how good a player Aaron Ramsey is. There's no doubt in the guy's quality. It's the fitness that's the issue for me. So it's really difficult because I wouldn't want to see somebody like Joe Aribo getting dropped for him. And I know Joe Aribo's maybe not hit the heights they did in the first half of the season lately, but he's still capable of performing on this stage, and he's capable of pulling these performances out to get us through these European ties. So I don't know. It really is difficult. At the same time, if Ramsey's on the bench and he came on to make an impact with 20 minutes to go or an extra time, if, God forbid, it goes to extra time, I think you'll need an ambulance at Ibrox for me, right enough, if it does. But it's, you know, I think he's the type of player that could come on and make an impact later on in the game as well. So if he's fit, I'd like to see him involved somehow, even if it is sitting on the bench.
You know, I'll say if he is, we just start him and Roof, if they're both on Monday 100% fit and play of others who have been playing, especially like Arfield, who I think starting to want a game because he's playing regular games.
I would probably, if they're both not 100%, I'd probably go with one or other for the start. I'd go for Roof for the start. Mm-hmm. Although having says that, I thought Aribo done quite well on Thursday night when he played centrally. It really is difficult. I'm really glad I'm no Giovanni Van Bronckhorst right now.
What about you, Brian and Gary? Would you just play them?
No, if they're both Roof over Ramsey for me. Mm-hmm. If they were both, I wouldn't play both of them. Because you're risking too much if they're both still maybe even niggly a wee bit. Just, I would go Roof.
Be a hell of a gamble. I mean, if Roof plays and Ramsey plays and they get injured again, then they're out of everything for the rest of the season. So, you know, I'm just more inclined to keep them on the bench if needed. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal opinion. I realise it's not going to agree with everybody, but. I just don't want to play them in this game and then lose them for the rest of the season, you know, totally. That's my fear. I don't want to lose any of them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. You know, there's no point. And who's put it in? Gallant pioneered it, and I'm not even bringing that comment up.
He's even in the squad. He can't play in Europe, can he?
He can't play in Scotland. it's a difficult one, as I say. I'm glad I'm not Van Bronckhorst. I know for a fact I'm going to have two really sleepless nights between now and Thursday, so I can only imagine.
You just think, right enough, might you risk it? Because there are three league games left.
There's three league games left for him to play the boys, basically.
So if Roof's fit, he's playing. That's 100%.
Yeah, 100%. If Roof's got any fitness about him at all, he starts.
You'd be risking far too much to play the both of them in the same game. For right from the start, I think it'd be too risky. In case one gets a knock, then the next one gets a knock, and you're already two subs down, you're 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah,
I think it's too.
Yeah, I know CGM said that feels not the same quality as Ramsey. We know that, but and Ramsey can probably create something out of nothing. He can also score because he makes good late runs mm-hmm. into the box. But mm-hmm. you want to see Aaron Ramsey. In fact, you don't want to see Aaron Ramsey coming on and breaking down after. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, if he thinks he's fit and Joe thinks he's fit, I think he'll play. But it is a big risk to take. I think we'll be looking for Thursday night to see who plays, because I think there's a couple of players who might chuck in because it's a do or die. And I think he will be picking players who he thinks can create something, maybe the one or two chances you might need. And maybe Ramsey can do that before Arfield can. I don't know.
I mean, you've got the option of bringing, excuse me, with Ramsey. If he starts as a subs, for example, he comes on for 25 minutes to go. The game's slowed down a bit. He's got a bit more time on the ball. You know, he can maybe see that pass that we're needing to make or whatever. So, no, I'm on the fence whether to start them or not. I really am. I just, it's such a headache. I'm glad it's not my decision.
Yeah. And, you know, just another question I wanted to ask, guys. We'll come to you with this. Now that we've seen Leipzig once, we saw them in the first leg, where do you think this Leipzig team rate has sat compared to the other clubs we've faced in Europe over the last two or three seasons when we've reached the last 16 of the Europa League before? Where do they fit in with the rest of these teams?
They're a bit different to I know like German, like Dortmund and Leipzig are both German, but I think they play a completely different style of Dortmund. I would have probably, after watching the two games back, I would probably say I would have been more worried about Leipzig than I would have been Dortmund. But then mm-hmm. you look at the league table, well, that shouldn't be that. Dortmund are ahead of them. I'm trying to remember what that Leverkusen team was like, because they were pretty good.
They were really good.
They were really good, yeah.
Like Havertz and that. You know, I don't think we were going into that game. I don't think very many people were very confident about getting much out of that game. So if my memory's serving right, I'd probably put Leverkusen as the better ones. I think this makes together the best team we've played this year in the competition. I would probably say that.
Yeah, I would agree, most dangerous anyway, going forward.
I would agree with that, Brian.
I think it doesn't take a genius to figure out the biggest club we've played in the competition was Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
But the best footballing side so far, from what I've seen, has been Leipzig. But they're not so good that we're blown away by them.
No, that's
this is what we keep coming back to. This is why we've got a chance.
Yeah, this is why we've got a chance. We're more resilient. They played really good football against us, but at the end of the day, what were they resorted to? Shooting from, I mean, I think the big boy up front had a glaring chance where he should have scored, you know, with a shot. He put it past the post, he had a header. I think that was about it. And McGregor was a spectator in the second half, wasn't he? You know. So, I mean, yeah, they had chances, but, I mean, we're still in this. And that's all we asked for after the first leg, was to have a chance to go into the second leg with a full Ibrox and try and just, you know, that's all we asked for, and we've got it. So the players have got a chance to eclipse 08. Go for it, guys.
Yeah, this is their chance, Kerr, isn't it? This is their chance to write their name right beside the greatest players and the greatest sides this football club's ever seen.
And I think they'll be confident, because I should disagree with you. And I don't think they're the best side we've played. I think it's been Dortmund. I know we beat Dortmund quite 4-2, but Dortmund are a better team in Leipzig. I think the problem with Dortmund was they thought they were ready through playing us, and I thought a lot of us thought they were ready through as well, to be honest with you. I thought Dortmund would beat us quite easily, but we surprised them, and I think the players have realised we've been over and beat Borussia Dortmund. We've also done well against them at Ibrox. They didn't beat us there either. And I think to myself, we can beat anybody we play, because Dortmund are one of the biggest clubs we've faced in the past few seasons, and we put them out when nobody, probably not even that, apart from maybe that dressing room, never expected us to go through. So I think after beating Dortmund, you must be confident beating anybody you face, because there's not many teams in that competition left that's better than them. So I think the players will be confident, and I think they know what they can do and what they should be doing. And that's how I'm confident for Thursday, because I think the players know this is their chance, and I think they will take it.
Yeah, and it's Gallant Pioneer saying, who's all dreamt to have lifting the Europa League trophy? I have about twice a day. Yeah, I'm right there with you, mate. I'm at that stage now. One minute I'm dreaming about Tav lifting the trophy, and the next minute I'm dreaming of sort of have the fear and the dread and the terrifying feeling that we're going to get absolutely hammered. But that's what being a football fan's all about.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to it, Alan, I don't think this Leipzig team will have faced a crowd like they will have when they come to Ibrox on Thursday night.
No.
There's no way. The ferocity and the noise is, I'm kind of hoping they get stage fright and they sort of, you know, the noise just sort of blows them away. Because as I just said, I don't think there's a crowd that they've faced like this on Thursday.
No, I don't think so. I got that impression for their crowd on Thursday night that it was a bit flat. I get, you know, they don't have the passionate fan base that we've got. And I don't think they would have faced that, and certainly in Europe. So, they might come to Ibrox and get stage fright, because Ibrox will be absolutely rocking. It was always going to be absolutely rocking on Thursday night. It's a sellout crowd. You know, it's such a massive occasion. You know, we're into May. Rangers are still playing in Europe. But, of course, that little added incentive that came along today, unexpectedly, unwanted, I've got to add as well. Could have been doing without that incentive. But the players should really be up for this now. They'll want to perform. They'll want to give Jimmy that send off. Folks, I'm going to leave it at that, because there's not much more I can say other than Thursday night, Rangers Football Club. Don't do it for yourselves. Don't do it for the supporters. Think about wee Jimmy. Everything that he's gave you, folks. I hope the next time we speak, it's going to be a happy occasion. It's going to be our, we'll have our match preview, but we'll have our post-match reaction as well on Thursday night. I won't be on it, but I hope that's a very happy podcast, and the guys and girls that are on that really enjoy it. So good luck, Rangers. Let's do this one step,
good luck.
One more push. Come on!
Social Podcast Network.